You are listening to the Giggles Live Radio Network.
And it's the 29th, just like that. It's a day later than I thought.
Oh my gosh, it's Cyber Monday.
And I thought it was too late for... Have you bought anything Cyber Monday yet?
Yes.
What'd you get?
I can't say.
Oh, is it gifties?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I went on last night to some of the places that I shop at.
Yeah.
And nothing is better of a deal than it was the last 2 months. So, because I've kind of been... Because of the sports memorabilia thing, I invest a little bit, so I can keep an eye on the market all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And they do these huge Black Friday deals and all that stuff, and so you keep an eye on it. But lately, the sales have been kind of good anyway, so there's really no difference at all.
That's what I've always thought. I've always thought that that's just... it's a gimmick.
Reason to get your ass in Target.
Yeah, it's a reason to just boost sales. Because after that, they have all kinds of, like Cyber Monday suddenly became a thing, right?
Right, right.
Before we had Cyber Mondays. Because Black Friday didn't pull in the kind of money they thought. And then they're going to have all kinds of stuff, right?
Right, exactly.
There's always like, this Wednesday.
Yeah.
Everything is 40% off home at Target.
It's going to be Wacky Price Wednesday.
Yeah, they do it. I don't know if you know this about me, but I worked retail for a very long time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I loved it because I love clothes and I like putting things together. But I realized that Macy's pretty much had a sale every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always a good sale, and you'd get like an extra 20% off if you used your card. And so I kind of realized, like, wait a second. They have sales every weekend. If you have a sale every weekend, it's not really a sale.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, it's kind of like
its luster.
One of those stores that we both love, the Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
It's like, if you pay full price for something, then you're insane. Because everything in that store is going to be on sale within 3 weeks. Everything. You just have to catch it on the week that it's on sale.
Yeah. You just have to stay tuned and go on their app or their Instagram and see what's going on, I assume.
Oh, do you not follow the sales with them? Are you not, you don't Hobby Lobby? I thought you Hobby Lobbied for some reason.
Does he have quilting stuff in there?
Oh, you really
don't. I'm just kidding. Okay. I'm just kidding. No, my boys are more Hobby Lobbyers.
Okay, so maybe Hobby Lobby is a little more boy-friendly than I thought. Because I'm a big fan of the Hobby Lobby.
Yeah, yeah.
So Hobby Lobby always has a coupon on their website for 40% off.
Oh, good to know. So it's like Joann's.
So any one item, 40% off.
Okay.
And that's like your bait. Like, that's the worst case scenario is you're going to get that savings.
Yeah.
But everything in the store at like some point in the month is half off. With the exception of like Legos and those kind of things where you're paying the astronomical licensing fees and stuff like
that. Yeah.
Right.
So I've never been inside of a Hobby Lobby. Is there crafting stuff in there?
Oh, it's amazing.
Oh, really?
That's all it is. It's beautiful.
Oh, I need to go check it out. So that's why I said it's like Joann's, because Joann's is like my Hobby Lobby.
We should go. How many extra hours do you have?
I'm actually just waiting for a plumber to call me. I think I texted like five of them last night.
Isn't that insane? That's how it is now if you want to get a contractor to come work on your place.
It's crazy.
Houses are absolutely so expensive that nobody can afford them now.
Yeah.
And you can't get a contractor to show up to save your life.
You can't. We're trying to get an architect to build an ADU for my parents. That's a adult something dwelling unit. An adult dwelling unit.
You build ADUs, don't you, Jim?
Yeah, my spare time.
Yeah. Well, are you also a licensed architect that can...
no, I'm what they call a shade tree architect.
Anyway, so we're trying to get one of these things built for my parents, right? So that they can retire. Because they didn't... People, if you are out there listening, plan for your future because it's important. My parents didn't, my parents just kind of really like, no, 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 no. That's not what you want to do. This is what you want to do. And I was like, no, 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 no. See, now this is, I know you're available and I know that you're affordable, but if this is the relationship we're going to have, then no.
Yeah, if you're going to come in and tell me what it needs, what I want, that's just not going to happen.
I was so annoyed. I was like, he's like, let me tell you, this is what you want to do. And I'm like, no, this is what I want to do. And then he was like, let me ask you a question. Why? Why do you want to do it that way?
Wow.
What is it that you want to do in here that you want to do it that way? And I said, I want to have an open concept area for my parents so we can have parties.
It also is none of your business.
And then he goes, parties? This isn't going to be your house. This is your parents' house. And I was like, what is happening here?
Wow. It's yeah. like he's. It's like you're auditioning for this opportunity with this budget contractor. Yeah.
He's like, and over here, you're going to have your kitchen.
Hey, buddy, I think I'm starting to figure out why you're the only contractor available.
Yeah. He was such a character, but at the same time, I was like, no, I feel like I'm arguing with an uncle.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, I'm going to pay you to draw these things up.
He's yelling at the kids. By the way, that's not how you throw a football.
Yeah, I was like. He's like, no, 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 you can't put a porch here because it adds on to the square footage and your max is 1,250 square feet. And his wife's like, no, it's 1,200. And he's like, no, it's 1,250. And she goes, no, it's 1,200. And he goes, no, it's 1,250. Who was the inspector here for the city of LA? And I was like, oh, man, is this what's going to happen? Like, and I looked at my husband. I'm like, let's just be very clear. They're just drawing the plans, right? Like, we're not hiring him to be the contractor. Like, we're only going so far with these guys.
Yeah, we only have so much of a time.
Yeah, commitment. And then I go, then I kind of pop their little brain a little bit because they're like, you can't do lofts. I said, why not? And they said, because you're adding square footage. I said, not if the loft is a storage space.
Was he impressed?
Well, his wife was kind of, she kind of went like this because his wife has more of, she's the actual architect.
Mm-hmm.
And she went like this. She like kind of nodded her head. Well, she's right. And it's like, you're not building it. You're just drawing some plans for me. Like, you can't draw some extra triangles on each side of the barn? Really? It's a problem. Yeah, it's gonna get more expensive. I'm like, you don't need to worry about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that part's not your problem.
Yeah, just draw the pictures, will you?
We'll take care of the budget. You take care of the architecturing.
And then she's like, well, and she goes, it doesn't always work that way. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. Why can't we add square footage from our garage to the size of our house that's recorded? And I'd like kind of stump them again. And they were like, it's because it's a storage unit, right? And she said, well, yeah, but it's not always like that. And I said, okay, well, can you find out what we can do? And she says, yeah, it's going to take some research. And he's like, yeah, and that's going to be expensive. Oh. I was like, okay, how expensive? What is it going to be? And then they told us, and I was just like, let's do the research before we get, let's see what we can do. And so right now he's just hired to do the research.
Oh, so you actually went with him.
I didn't say he's going to be an architect. I have a couple more guys that are popping up.
Okay. So, but he, it was so far he's in the, he's.
Yeah, I want
to
get.
He's allowed to grab a pen and a pencil and paper.
Yes.
And begin. As long as yes. he doesn't go on his flights of fancy and build your unnecessary atrium and yeah. all this other stuff that he's yeah. got in his mind.
Yeah. And then when he told me how much expensive was, I was like, okay, well, that's totally worth it because I don't have time. Because he's like, I'm going to tell you what questions you need to ask. So I'm writing them down. And then my mom goes, how much would it be for you just to do the research? And then he said, I think it was like $300. And I'm like, you know what? That's going to save me a lot of time.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. And I know that that sounds like a lot of money to a lot of people. And it is. I mean, it's a week of groceries for the 8 people that come in and out of my home on the daily. So I'm including my parents. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to do it because, number one, I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
Number two, maybe there's more questions that need to be asked that his wife is going to know. And I think it was worth it. So I just
And he needed a little self-esteem boost, being as available as he was.
Yeah. He kept going, we're giving you the San Fernando Prize. And I said, he goes, because out here, you know, in the 805, you're going to get the 805 prize. I'm giving you the 818. It's a special prize.
This guy sounds like a con man.
He told, like, he was selling me, like, nonstop. And then, like, booing me all at the same time. And I was just like, okay, well, let's just do it. And he's like, yeah. And I said, yeah. And I said, what do you want, like a check, credit card? He goes, no, I don't take credit card. I'm like, so you want cash? And he's like, I could do cash. I'm like, can you do a receipt?
A what?
Yeah. Receipt?
He's like, a receipt? And so he ended up giving me a receipt, which was nice. And I'm like, okay, well, I have a receipt.
That's another thing, too, is the demand for cash from contractors. I've had a lot of that where it's like, can't you get cash? Like, oh, right, can't you just get cash? Like, oh, you want me to run to the bank for you?
Because everyone has cash in their pocket.
Yeah, because I got three grand to pay you to do that.
Yeah, I happen to have that money on me because of, I had a really good night stripping the night before.
You did. I did a great job.
And
you did. I don't know. I'm glad I didn't have to clean up, but man, you did a great. That was a
My
show.
Mom's eyes went like, "Where'd you get that?" Surprise! I'm dancing again, everybody. This time I'm just naked. No, so what was really funny is like, what do you want to do in here? And my husband, what he said was before I said, no, we're just kidding about that, but we let it go for a little bit. My husband said, I want to have underground gambling parties with topless waitresses. And we did not move a muscle on our face.
Right.
And their eyes, the lady's eyes kind of like blew up. And
she's
he
like,
was
we gotta
like,
hang with these guys.
And he was like, okay, okay, okay. And then he kind of changed his tone a little bit. Like, where are your parents going to be? And then like, he asked more questions. I said, my parents are going to be in the house watching the kids, making sure they don't sneak over and see the naked ladies.
All of a sudden, he's like wanting to be your best friend.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to hang with these guys.
Yeah. Once Kirk went there, I'm like, all right, I mean, want to have some fun too.
These guys are cooler than the folks in Oxnard. We got to hang with them.
Yeah. And then he goes, "Can I?" Before I left, he goes, "What's the quickest way to get to the outlets?"
I'm in Camarillo. I need to hit Nike.
And I said, and this is gonna be a shout out to Octavio's. What is it? It's off of the. It's
you can Octavio's, see, yeah.
Octavio's, the, yeah. So there. He says, no, there's this Italian food. I think our waitress was Italian. She would call the busboy like this, Anthony, Anthony, Anthony.
Nice.
Yeah, I like that place. It's a good place.
Yeah, it's good.
Did he give you the 616 price after that?
No.
No, okay.
No, they didn't actually give me a price. He gave me a roundabout. He's like, if you're not my, if your cousin wasn't a friend of mine, it'd be like $13,000.
Yeah, that's another reason you can't hire somebody that's right? a friend of a cousin, because then it's like, I could put this as family, so I could put that off and take care of your job.
Well,
first.
There's that, but yeah. but the good thing is that my husband's like, well, they're vouching for him.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. You'll
be able to find his ass if he does bad work.
And he's, I guess, done work for my cousin's fiance, who is a contractor. Hmm. And so I guess, you know, there
is your cousin's fiance one that'll let him just take over and decide what the plans are going
to
be.
I was talking to him about that at Thanksgiving, and he goes, yeah, he's going to sell you every which way. And he's like, just be patient. And I was like, he's like, but they're good. And I said, okay.
Yeah. A lot of times to get to the good, in people, you gotta be patient.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think there's good in everyone. It was just one of the day after Thanksgiving, and we're recuperating, and I'm putting, you know, things away, getting ready for Christmas.
Yeah, it's an awkwardly exhausting time of year with kids.
Yeah.
Because you're like, now I've got to go get the inflatable Santa, climb up and nail him to the roof. And I've got to do, no, that's, yeah, what do you have in your purse over there?
Oh, was that my
no,
purse?
No, it wasn't. I'm kidding.
It's my vibrator. No. I mean my Sonicare.
It was just, I mean my Sonicare. That's your first album. I mean my Sonicare. That one threw me off. Now I don't even remember what the hell I was talking about.
This is the time of year with the kids and the expectations of the, you know, the decorating. And I told Kirk this year, I said, I am cleaning out the attic. We're just getting rid of stuff. I am going very minimalist with our Christmases now.
That's smart.
I used to be a tchotchke lady, and I want to kind of pull away from that.
Is it cluttery? Does it?
It gets too dusty. Yeah. There's just too much. I said, do we really need to do the Polar Express around the tree? It never works. It always falls off.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of like, let's just one more year.
It's hard to let stuff like that go.
I know. Because, you know, our kids, they were so into it. And they were like, we want the Polar Express. You know, and that was kind of at that point in our lives, and it was a big purchase before Christmas. It was like, really, we're going to get this right now? He's like, oh, they love it so much. They're so into trains. And I was like, okay, this is part of their Christmas gift though. Like I'm using it, taking it out of the budget money.
This is in the Santa budget.
Yeah, it was, it had to be.
You're listening to the Giggles Live Radio Network.
We were talking a little bit off air about contractors and contracting nightmares. I swear, it seems like between the two of us, we could probably have a podcast about nightmares with contractors.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is you probably know a lot of what's going on because you've kind of maybe looked at it and go, man, I could totally do that. I just can't because at the end of the day, you want somebody that knows what they're doing to do it. But when you kind of look at what they're doing, you're just kind of like, I could totally do that, right?
Yeah.
Do you have that?
Yeah. Well, also I did it when, because I do this weird thing where sometimes I fall into weird stuff that prepares me for life. Kind of like the Air Force. I tell people that. Like I have you know, I have medical coverage for the rest of my life because of my time in the Air Force.
Yeah.
That's something that a lot of people worry about their entire life.
Right.
I just haven't had
it's
really.
True.
It's one of those weird things. But one of the things that I did in the Air Force was I went and helped rebuild homes after the Hurricane Nikki hit. Because Hurricane and Nikki went and it tore up Kauai. It took
breakfast.
I don't remember. But probably.
Did you have a curfew?
I don't remember. No, I don't think we had a curfew. No. I don't. But we did have to be up early, and most of us were at least disciplined enough. When I say most of us, nobody would go out with me, so I'd had to go to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we stayed in this nun convent, and you'd walk to the end. And like you were in a chapel, like you were like, and you were like upstairs in this chapel, and it was crazy. And it was like,
was it creepy for you?
No, I don't think so. I thought it was gonna be. It was creepier when our car broke down on this like mountainous road in Kauai, because they had like these loaner cars.
Yeah,
it was a what do you call it? Like a, you know, it was a charity effort.
Yeah.
And so we were using these loaner cars, and we had a car that broke down. We were facing uphill, and all the electric went out, and we're in Kauai.
Oh, no.
On these back roads. That was a little more freaky, but we got it.
And those back roads are one car roads. Ooh. So you have to like pull over really close to that cliff.
It feels like a really crazy place where you could just disappear.
Yeah.
And nobody'd ever know.
Yeah.
Like, no, what happened to that guy? I don't know. He went We went to Kauai.
So I've heard that Kauai is the most beautiful island in Hawaii. It's like the best kept secret.
It's gorgeous. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, I think that's going to be our next Hawaiian trip, is a trip to Kauai.
The reason, one of the reasons I would do the, besides helping out, one of the reasons I did that relief effort was because we would get a day off. I think we got a day off work. So we would fly out Thursday after work. We didn't have to work on Friday. And so I think that that day we were allowed to kind of like goof around.
Yeah.
When we got to, when we got there. And then Saturday we worked all day. Sunday we worked all day. And then we flew back home Sunday evening. So we, so Friday was kind of like a free day. You
yeah.
know, 'cause you had the day off of your regular military job. And then you didn't, you were just kind of like, it was a travel day to get ready to do the stuff for the, whatever, building the homes yeah. and stuff. So it was kind of cool. And we did like Waimea Falls Canyon is this big, it's kind of like the Grand Canyon. It's huge. It's absolutely really? Gorgeous. And we went and we visited that and we did some hiking and stuff. And I think I went maybe 3 or 4 times, but I would go and we'd, each time we would do like a different adventure. There was a waterfalls that was, I guess, on the opening credits of Gilligan's Island, Fantasy Island.
Fantasy Island.
Yeah. And
okay.
We went and hung out there and all of that.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And so, but this experience taught you how to build and work with like.
Yeah, that's weird. I totally went off.
Yeah. I mean, being married to somebody that grew up working for an uncle who was a contractor. And when I say grew up working, like literally by the age of 11, he was learning how to do things and, you know, was doing a lot of labor stuff. Like he even taught him how to pick out good 2x4s. Nice. You know what I mean? Like
right.
he's learned such little details that are so important in the things that we do in our home. But I mean, I can do drywall because I've seen him do it so many times that I kind of go, I think I could do that.
Drywall is a blast too.
It's just, it's like working with putty.
Yeah.
You know, like caulking. Caulking used to totally intimidate me. You know, and then I had this
door. Yeah,
there's
that gun that doesn't plug in or anything. How does this work?
Caulking gun. I mean, maybe it was because the word is caulk that it was like so intimidating. And it shoots out this.
I can't
like,
come out of the bathroom, Mom. I got caulk everywhere.
It's, you know, and but also the thing is like once the caulk dries, then. the goo dries, it's really hard to get out, right? So you have to like cut it out. So I was always kind of afraid, okay, if I do a bad job, people are going to see it, but you can mold it. Mm-hmm. You just have to like wet your finger and like, you know, smooth it out. And so he taught me that and I went, oh my gosh, I can totally do this.
Right, right.
So I'm not afraid of drywall. I'm not afraid of mudding. I'm not afraid of caulking. I'm not afraid of painting.
Well, how many of these, you think about this, like how many of the DIY channels are so popular now? There's so many of those channels. There's
totally.
So many of them and HGTV, all that stuff. And you watch these shows and you see that it is something. There are things that are in your wheelhouse.
Oh,
really,
yeah.
It's all in your wheelhouse. If you wanted to, you could do a lecture. Yeah,
if you're a creative person, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can do these things.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, maybe the first time isn't going to be your best one. It's like anything new that you're trying or getting into.
Learning curve.
But the more you practice, the better you get. Like I refinished all of the cabinets in my kitchen. They used to be just an old oak and I just sanded them down to the wood and I refinished them and I painted them white and then you put some brass knobs on them and you know.
Did you hang them?
I didn't. No, they were already there.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. What I did was I took all the cabinet doors off. I have like little snippets of it that I used to put on my Instagram, but not on my new Instagram. So maybe I'll go back there and I'll. I used to do a fake program. It was called "What the Heck Did We Get Ourselves Into?"
Oh, for the house with
yeah, because it was a lot of work.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
I think even if you're buying a house and you're not expecting all the work that comes with a house, it's one thing. But for one, you said that your home's a fixer-upper.
Yeah.
Also, it's a big property. Like
yeah.
Like it's got a lot of details and stuff that you want to, and it's but it's, I could see all the work you guys put into it.
Yeah,
awesome.
there's so much potential, but you can't possibly get it all done. It's like, I said to my husband, I said, if we buy this or attempt to buy it, you realize we're going to be working on this for the rest of our lives. It's gonna, it's like a labor of love.
Yep.
You know? So
there's always going to be something.
Yeah. Because
10 years from now, there's going to be something that you fixed 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's there's always
time to do it again.
Like I was growing my own vegetables and I was farming there for a second. And then I was like, you know what? I would really just rather go to the store and buy my shit.
You're listening to Big Tom and Roach, a different type of morning show, only on the Giggles Live Radio Network.
I just kept hearing it. I'm ducking and everything. God, dude, in the house, I stayed. I dropped my hot pocket.
You're listening to the Giggles Live Radio Network.
I wouldn't be so hostile if you had 1 ounce of talent.
Sit around and cook some soups and eat bread and desserts and just get all fat and sassy.
You're listening to the Giggles Live Radio Network.
Good morning, folks. It's a nice day in California.
Here's Big Tom and Roach.
You're listening to the Giggles Live Radio Network.
A Monday morning so beautiful that apparently I loaded the intro in twice. We started all over.
I love it. It's like, well, we know it's the second half when that happens.
It's a clean slate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
So you're doing the thrifting thing.
Yes. So, well, no, we do the thrifting thing together. I mean, you do it too.
Yeah.
I mean, you're all about finding the good deals.
Yeah. Have you been getting out and doing it or what?
Yeah. The diamond in the rough. Oh, you mean getting back into it?
Yeah.
No, but I figured I'd just give away all my secrets.
Oh, cool. I think that'd be fun.
Right? Like if you're in the 805, I can tell you where there's some cool little places you can check out.
Right.
Right.
Can I get some sports stuff at them?
You never know. They're just little thrift shops that are out of nowhere. But I tell you what I don't always tell people is that I go to estate sales.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So estate sales, you can find some really amazing things. And sometimes the people that have the estate sales know what they're selling, and sometimes they don't care.
Right. A lot of times it's just, I want to get everything out of here because I'm dealing with something I didn't really want to deal with.
Yeah. Well, no, they hire companies to do it.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. But so usually what happens is a person will pass away and the family will go in and they will take everything that they know they wanted. Mm-hmm. Right. And then whatever's left over in the house is up for grabs. So basically they're just trying to get as much as they can for whatever's in there. Mm-hmm. Right. Because they're a hired company that comes in and does everything. But usually what happens on the last day is they get everything together for a goodwill pickup. Mm-hmm. So basically you can go in there and haggle.
Right. Right.
Right. They usually start on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. If they're still open on Sunday, they're almost giving things away, but all the good stuff's pretty much gone.
Yeah.
But I love it because not a lot of people go there to thrift for clothes. Mm-hmm. And I do. And I have found some really amazing things there. So yeah, especially if you're a flipper, if you flip clothes.
Right.
Also your TJ Maxx's has amazing, go for those yellow tags. If you see something that's higher end, don't even think twice about it. It will sell on eBay.
Yeah, even if it's not your size.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. I can't tell you how many size twos of things I've had. There's plenty of size twos in this country that want this particular dress.
Every once in a while, I have somebody that kind of catches some insight as to how much memorabilia I have, like maybe Cowboys-wise, Dodgers-wise, yeah, or Raiders-wise or something like that. And they'll kind of give me a hard time. And I'm like, do you have any idea how well that stuff sells?
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of stuff you hold on to because you know that market's going to pop up. And there's some days of the year that are so, like, you can put anything with a star on it the day before training camp opens and the Cowboys fans are going to buy it. They're just really passionate fans.
That's amazing.
So what you're doing is kind of connecting the buyer to the product.
Yeah.
And they're getting a good deal.
They're getting a good deal. Yeah. At the end of the day, you're giving a good deal too, because the actual retail price is, right?
Yeah. And you get to have the fun.
And
of,
they know. If they're on eBay, they've shopped.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just, that's how I discovered eBay. Because I was like, well, if those boots are there and they're $400, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I can find a pair that's barely been used. And lo and behold, there they were for $50.
Yeah.
And they were exactly that. Barely, maybe used once, like the soles were barely scratched. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, eBay's great. I would recommend anybody who's not on there to try to stay away though, because it's very addicting.
It is addicting.
If you have a shopping personality.
Yeah, yeah.
Very addictive.
But no, I mean, I can say that especially the times that my husband's been out of work, eBay has always helped us make the ends meet.
Yeah, it bridges the gap for sure.
It really does. So don't, you know, and it's so funny because a lot of people will think of like secondhand clothes or vintage clothes. There's a lot of people still out there that will go, that's so gross. How could you do that?
That's funny.
How do you do that? I mean, there's, and they don't understand that there's a market for everything. There's a whole huge group of people out there that love Vanity Fair vintage underwear. They sell for like $50.
Wow.
And when I tell people that, they can't believe it. Wow. You know, sometimes people really love a perfume and they can't afford a whole new bottle. Someone on eBay is selling a half a bottle of perfume and that person will buy it.
I remember when, because Kim Kardashian made as much heat as she catches.
Yeah.
She made a fortune on eBay before she became famous.
Yeah.
I remember when I first kind of became aware of her, and she had put a pair. She was dating Reggie Bush at the time, and she was selling his old clothes. And I kept thinking, from a sports memorabilia, like she would sell a pair of shoes that he probably wore a couple times, and she'd sell it for like $40 because she was still like at that level of just kind of you know, just trying to make money. She probably had assistants that were doing all of her stuff by that point.
Yeah,
probably not doing it herself. But she had, like, I'm going from a sports fan perspective.
Right.
If that was an athletic shoe, it would be worth a lot of money.
Right.
Because that's Reggie Bush, Heisman Trophy winner, blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah. But she's selling it as a shoe. That
is was, yeah. Oh, so she didn't even have it signed?
No, it wasn't anything like that.
Oh,
it,
well
was
then
like 40,
she's,
it was like 40.
She's kind
bucks.
Of a dummy.
It was probably just a pair of shoes or a pair of slippers.
I would have taken it a step further and I've been like, hey, Reggie, sign these for me really quick.
Right? Exactly. Reggie'd probably charge her.
Que tonta. yeah, I don't think I ever had anything famous. The only thing I did have, though, that was sports memorabilia that did very well was that jacket I told you that I walked into a thrift store with my son, and it was like the angels from heaven were beaming light down on it, and it was a mint condition vintage puffy 49ers jacket the year they were going to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I paid $5 for it.
Right.
I walked up to it and grabbed it. My heart was beating so fast. I couldn't believe it. It was like thumping. I was like, I can't believe this.
Like, is this really happening?
Yeah, I took it straight to the dressing room and I eBayed the 49ers jacket. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my gosh. I sold it for $420.
Wow. That's a flip.
Yeah. That was a good one.
See, my problem is I'll find something that's worth a lot and I'll see it and I'll buy it for $2 and then I'll just hold on to it. Now I'm still out the $2.
Well, so my husband, so I was thinking, well, this is really cool. I can wear it the day of the thing, or, you know, my son wanted to wear it. And then my husband said, no, you have to sell that because number one, we don't need it. Number two, they're playing in the Super Bowl. Number three, you know how much you can get for it. If you don't sell it now when they're in the Super Bowl, you're not going to get that much next year.
No, you're not. Yeah.
You know,
even if they make the Super Bowl again, it's even not going to have the same shine on it. Yeah.
It's like people want to wear it that day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm so happy that he just kind of put the kibosh on keeping it because I was like, you know what? I'm never going to wear it again. And
yeah. You'd be wearing it right now.
Sias is going to get pizza grease on it. You know, everyone was kind of like, no, I want to wear it. I want to wear it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you go to a private school. You can't even wear it if you wanted to. You know what I mean?
They're laying down, cuddling the dogs, yeah. Wearing the
totally.
Jacket.
Plus, you run super hot. You never wear a jacket anyway. So yeah, I sold it.
Nice.
Yeah. And then, you know, I think we talked about this, how you kind of have like a, you kind of take your eBay money and you kind of hoard it and then you buy something else with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually what I do.
Yeah. We also talked about if we went and we did that, because we've talked about maybe going and hitting up a storage place and just splitting the place up. And you're like, no, we don't take anything out of it. We have to actually sell it all because we take it, it defeats the purpose of buying the locker.
Yeah.
Because that's what you'll do. You'll sell all the way up to paying for your locker and go, okay, the rest is just free stuff.
Yeah. And then it's hard. I mean, I bought jewelry thinking, okay, I'm going to sell this. But I just... The reason I buy it is because I think this is an amazing piece, you know? And then I get it, right? Like I make an offer. And this one time I made a ridiculous offer and she took it. I almost felt guilty. And my husband said, how much do you think you can get for that? I said, at least triple. I took it and I had it appraised. Mm-hmm. And he said, so let's do it. And I said, you got to just let me wear it like until I'm sick of it.
And then you'll feel less guilty about the flip too. Sometimes I'll feel guilty about the flip.
Yeah. It's like it's like you were saying, it's like there comes a point where you're like, yeah, I'm kind of over this.
Yeah. You took your enjoyment out of it. That's what makes the sports thing kind of unique, where it's like you might have a certain collection that you focus on and then you just kind of like move into something else and you know, and a lot of that stuff that you had, it was really cool, but, you know, it served its purpose and its time, and you can get it to somebody else.
Absolutely. And, you know, just for the record, I don't just buy, dead people's clothes or, you know, used clothes. Usually I will obviously wash it or I'll have it dry cleaned if it's a special piece.
Right. I do the same thing with baseball cards.
You know?
I'm dry cleaned.
Yeah. So I'd like to hear from anybody who does some special thrifting out there. Why don't you give us a call at 555-THRIFT this, Buster?
We should do a game show. Everybody gets $20. They got to see how far they can make the $20. Then we have to have somebody that would be a good judge. I don't know. Maybe we could flip. I don't know how quickly we could flip $20 worth of stuff, but... It'd be kind of interesting.
That would be fun.
Have a judge that just like, I think this so-and-so won.
Yeah. It would have to be somebody that has a store that does that.
Yeah.
Who would do that?
I don't know. We'll have to think about it.
Who would have that kind of store now? Like to pay overhead?
Like a ye old curiosity. The Santa Paula ye old curiosity shop.
Oh, yeah. There is that?
No.
I got to go check it out.
No, no.
Well, let's make one.
That would be cool. That would be cool. Santa Paula is growing too. There's some cool things coming up.
I have a collection of, I forget. I don't want to call it fake jewelry, but it's fashion jewelry. It's like nice, nice, nice costume jewelry. I have a lot of it. And I did really well with it last year. I sold almost half of it. It wasn't mine. It belonged to a friend. And so we split it 50-50. She made like $600.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. We did pretty good.
Well, screw doing it as a contest. Let's do it for a job.
I know. It just takes, you know, like this, I'm doing this right now, right? And I'm having fun. The thought of going home and actually working.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's work.
It is.
You know, I got really good. It would take me 10 minutes to take pictures and post a new item, which is pretty good.
Right.
So I would tell myself, okay, you need to do at least 10 items a day.
Oh, I do that too, where I'll write down.
Yeah. You have to do at least 10, because if you don't do it consistently, then you won't really make money, and like you won't reap the benefits of doing it. I don't think you realize how much money you're making unless you have like 150 things up at a time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and if you're not constantly putting stuff up, your inventory depletes.
Yeah, and then your followers stop following.
Yeah, yeah.
I had this one lady that bought so much stuff for me. She just kept coming back.
She probably bought one thing and realized you know what you were doing. And
yeah, and then sometimes I would, on top of it, just throw something extra in there just for the hell of it, because I was like, oh, you know what? This would actually go good with that set. I'm going to just throw it in there because I can't sell it alone.
I do that, but it's not to be nice. It's usually because I'm shipping stuff like 5 days late.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I just do it to get rid of the clutter, and I know I can't sell it. So I'm like, I'm just going to throw that in there because it matches everything else.
And they'll appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. They do.
I even like it when I get little weird free stuff. Even if it's a card I don't care about, I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool.
And how great is it when you get an amazing review?
You are listening to the Giggles Live Radio Network.
And we are back. That was my fault. I didn't time my story out very well. That's well, long okay. story short, it ended up being $600.
There you go.
He's like, dude, it's $600 on eBay. So there it went. There it went. Right
there it goes.
Right in and out of my hands that quickly.
You never know what you have.
Let's see. As a seller, I have, let's see if we can find a great experience all around. I'm skipping the ones that are just plain. Nothing. There's no bad. I don't have any bad. I have one bad one. Really?
I still have 100% feedback, though, because it was lame and I fought it.
Excellent seller, professional service, lightning fast shipping. A plus. Thank you.
I love it.
Super fast delivery. Product as described. Highly recommend.
See, don't you love reading them?
My favorite is this one. Easy peasy.
Love it.
All right. That was that. That's kind of the extent of my, most of them are the usual.
Yeah, the usual, but it still feels so good because you got another one under your belt, you know? So beautiful sweater. Great deal. Thank you so much. Quick delivery. Good quality. Very nice. A great seller. 100,000,000%.
Wow. What exactly are you doing to get these reviews?
Fast shipping, perfect transaction. Thank you. Beautiful items, A++++ seller. Very nice items. And then I'm just going to scroll down to the one negative one I have, which says, doesn't fit, can't wear.
How is that the seller's fault? Order the right size.
I put the measurements on there. Order your size, lady. I never said it was going to stretch.
That one, I'll never. Sometimes you see, like, I read product reviews when I'm going and I'm going to buy something, and sometimes you'll see stuff like that. Like,
yeah, it's like,
it was great, but yeah, the box was too big.
She ruined my feedback score, which is always, I like it to stay at 100. I really try and not scam people.
And I'm assuming it lingers there for a little while. Yeah. You keep seeing that little red mark for a little while.
Yeah, you can't get rid of it. You have to like super dispute it. And so I had to like actually call in and talk to somebody and say, that's not a legitimate review. Mm-hmm. She didn't even try and return it.
Right.
Even though it does say no returns, but at least try me. I'll do it.
Yeah.
It says no returns, but I'll do a return because I don't want bad feedback.
Well, also, no returns is basically saying I'm a reasonable person. I'm not going to, like, you're not going to just buy it, send it back to me,
If anything has a stain on it or a tiny little hole that's starting, or maybe it, you know, it's been altered, I take pictures of everything so that doesn't happen.
Right, right.
You know, it's like, listen, this is what you're buying. There's a grease stain on it. If you think you can get it out,
that's on you, playa.
You know, I'm selling you this purse. There's a pen mark on it. I take pictures of everything that is wrong with it first, and then I showcase the item.
Do you ever have anybody get mad about something like a defect, not a defect, but maybe like a something like that, like a mark or something that they didn't see in the pictures, and it's your fault?
Yeah. Well, no, I had a woman who bought a dress. It was like a cocktail dress. It was a beautiful purple dress. It belonged to my grandmother, circa like 1983. Gorgeous sequins and just chiffon. Like, I can't even tell you how pretty the dress was, right? This woman buys it, wears it to a wedding. She keeps side messaging me. Do you think it's going to get here for the wedding? Do you think it's going to get here for the wedding? The wedding, the wedding. She wears it to the wedding. She must have smoked at least 3 packs of cigarettes in it.
Oh.
And I have no idea what spilled on her. But then she writes that she wants to return it. I don't know she's done all this stuff in it until I get the dress back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got stains all over it. So she wrote in the thing, the dispute to return it, there is a stain on it that wasn't there in the pictures.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't even wear it to the wedding. I get the dress back. It smells like she smoked in the dress all night long. Spilled food on it because it was grease.
Wow.
And God knows what else.
That's just the top half of the
dress. And then she's writing in the thing like, you better blah, 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 because I'm in a wheelchair. Like, she wrote that in there. And I was like, dude, okay, chill. Of course. Send the dress back.
Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy.
So that was probably somebody with some mental instabilities.
Yeah, but like there was a moment there that I just kind of thought, I don't want to do this anymore. Because there every now and again, you get a random crazy person that does that.
I had that happen. I had somebody that I didn't save the tracking from from something that I shipped to them. And they asked me, oh, do you have the tracking? And I was like, no, I don't have the tracking.
And you have to give the money back.
Yeah. Oh, well, I didn't get it. Da, da, da. So I sent another one. And then, so I just sent another one. And without really giving it too much thought.
Yeah.
And then, that one, I sent the tracking, all that. And then I go and I look after it was resolved. Because they wrote this weird review that was like, there was a problem, took care of it, blah, 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 blah. I went and looked. And you can look at reviews that the person has written,
mm-hmm.
all the way down. It was the exact same thing. First item didn't arrive, but the replacement item, and it was all the way down. So it was clearly a scam, and I got conned. I was like,
yeah,
pieces of garbage.
Yeah, that's happened to me a couple times. One of the first mistakes I did was this woman bought a dress for me again, and she said that she didn't like it, and she wanted her money back. I said, okay, send it back. But I gave her the money back. I refunded her before I got the dress, so I never got the dress back.
Oh, yeah.
And she said something like, I said, well, I remember getting back to her and going, when are you sending the dress? And she said, I'm not. And I said, that's stealing. And she said, she basically said, come find me, B. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
No wonder you needed a break.
Yeah. Yeah, I take little breaks.
You have to.
You know? And then there's also the con artists that go, they offer you, you know, will you take this? And then you're like, yeah, fine, I'll take it. And then you send it off. And then they write you and message you and they go, very disappointed with the blah, 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 and this and that. And then I say, okay, we'll just return it and I'll give you a full refund. And then they go, well, can you just give me a credit? Can you just credit some of my money back?
Wow, yeah.
And then because I'm so afraid of the bad review that I go, oh, okay, how much do you want back? So I do it.
Yeah, you got to stop that. I don't know what to do with that.
You know?
But that's, I think there might be a different type of, in the sports memorabilia, I think in the sports memorabilia world, you have like the bottom feeders that
kind of, but then you block, after that, I just blocked her because I thought I will never sell to her again. She won't be able to buy from me again.
I had somebody block me as a seller, or as a buyer, and I asked them why, and they didn't answer me. I never wrote a bad review, never did anything. It was really weird. It was
maybe they didn't like your last name. Like,
I don't know what it
was.
And it was somebody. It was like in somebody out of Pennsylvania or something. Yeah,
it's like some old family riff, and they're like, it's a McLean.
I had literally no personal interaction. There was never a bad interaction. There was never any interaction. It was just, I would buy, every once in a while, I'd buy a few autographed cards from him or whatever, some certified autographed cards, and that was it. And then
maybe he found out you're a 49ers fan.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I wonder if they assumed that I was flipping those particular cards, because those cards were like they weren't. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what makes them different, but there really isn't anything that makes them different.
Oh, there's more to that lady that wanted the credit.
Right.
I looked her up. She was flipping the same stuff I was selling her. So she was flipping it. She was a...
She had it for sale?
Yeah, she was a Joan Rivers collector and seller. That's what I was selling, was Joan Rivers jewelry. And so when I finally caught on, because she had bought... She would keep saying, can you this? Can you that? Will you take this much? Will you this? And I was like, yeah, I'm selling it for somebody. So I'm just like pushing it out, right? And then that last time that she did it, I was like, that's it. I'm done. But I looked her up. I was like, son of a bitch.
Wow. You gotta be careful out there.
Yeah, and she's selling it for like triple what I was selling it to her for. And I was like, okay, we're done. This relationship is over. She did try to message me again. I said, I can't do business with you anymore. I'm so sorry. It's too much work. It's not worth it.
Can they still message you after you block them?
I think they can still message you.
That's right. Because I did. I sent that. This was when that happened. Was a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if it. I'm guessing what happened is he intended to block somebody else.
She
that's
probably
my
intended
guess.
To make a bid or make an offer, and it wouldn't let her.
Oh, and that's how she found out.
Yeah,
I
had to
she
tell
was
her
yeah.
You can't buy anything from me anymore. Sorry.
Yeah, sometimes it's better to just not make the sale than to deal with some crazy person.
Yeah.
There's no way to know.
Amazing.
Little Willie Green from New Orleans, a greedy boy was he. He always liked a lot of kids around just to keep him company. One day his mom bought him a jelly roll, the best cake that was made. And when the kids began to hang around, little Willie said, I ain't gonna give nobody none of this jelly roll. I wouldn't give you a piece of this cake to save your soul. My mom told me today, when she went away, to be a good boy, she bring me a toy. I'm my mama's pride and joy. Ain't no use for you to keep on hanging around. I love you, but I hate the time you die. This jelly roll is sweet, surely hard to beat. I know you want it, but you can't have it, cause I ain't gonna give you none. Jelly roll. I wouldn't give you a piece of this cake to save your soul. Mama told
me today when she ran away. The bigger boy, she bring that toy. I'm my mama's red eye boy. Ain't no use for you to keep on hanging around. I love you, but I hate the county down. This jelly roll is sweet, surely hard to beat. I know you want it, but you can't have it, cause I ain't gonna give you nothing.
You're listening.